Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The University of Tulsa School of Art opens its exhibition season with the work of artist Ken Culey today. Culey is known as a colorist with vividly colored ephemeral figurative paintings and mosaic-like collages, as well as instinctively drafted drawings. All three are on display in the exhibit Ken Culey, Collages, Drawings, and Paintings, which opens today with a gallery talk at 5 o'clock and will be on display through September 25th. Culey describes his own approach as no color theory, just love of color. And that approach is evident in his work, which is a kind of abstracted figurative work where the model is reduced to areas of color. Of special significance is a portion of his series titled 50 Nudes After Western Art, where he uses his approach to famous works of art like After the Bath by Edgar Degas, works by Picasso, Boucher, and Manet. Culey teaches at the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts and has had shows at colleges and universities, commercial galleries, and museums around the country. Interestingly, he spent over a decade as a night watchman at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, painting by day, looking and guarding art by night. He'll open the exhibit again today at 5 o'clock with a gallery talk at the Hogue Gallery. Ken Culey is my guest today. Ken Culey, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us. And what a wonderful exhibit at the Alexander Hogue Gallery here on the TU campus.
Thank you.
When I first heard that we were having a collage artist, that's one of the areas that you concentrate in, yeah. I was thinking really large collage, sort of Rauschenberg sort of looking. These are incredibly tiny miniature collages, which I would assume you have to have some sort of
tweezers
and eye amplification to be able to see what you're doing, because it's this little tiny pieces, slivers of paper put into these wonderful figurative but somewhat cubist collages. How did you get started doing this?
I started by looking at my favorite artists. There was a Matisse painting that I was trying to do a painting of. I just thought I could do this better in collage, where what I was wanting to get was those nice, clean jumps that he gets between the colors. So with the collage, you go from one to the other. It's very clean. You make these big jumps. Then you can also adjust. My whole thing is adjusting and adjusting, and it all comes down to composing. So what I do is I have these pieces. Then I look at the art. I make a shape. And then I can move it around, not according so much to the painting, but to where I think it looks best on the page. To avoid, like, maybe trying to copy brush strokes, this kind of makes another transition. It keeps you from copying, in a sense. It makes you make a thousand little decisions.
Now, when you're cutting up the paper, you obviously have a shape in mind, but are you in that ideal of never repeating yourself? Are you always looking for new shapes and which to make images of? Or do you get an idea of, because some of them are like figurative, what I would assume are women, sort of in sitting poses, that sort of very common modernist sort of ideal that that many artists used of, you know, whether it's Matisse's Odalises or things like that. It's these women sitting in poses and chairs and things like that. Is that where the starting point is? Or do you just play with the paper and see what comes up?
There's no set method.
Uh-huh.
Like, it almost changes every time I do it. For a while, I was using Found magazine paper. It was mostly art magazines, because in art magazines, especially Art Forum, they might have a whole page, which is an ad of this beautiful color, and the name of the artist is right in the middle. So all you have to do is cut out that little name, throw that away, and you use that beautiful paper. But it's not so it fades in the sun. So today what I do is I paint my own paper with acrylic.
Oh.
And then I haven't done too many copies lately because from the time I was copying artists, other artists that I love. And it is also a way of slowing down looking. It means you can take a Matisse and actually look at it for a month or so. And what I do is I'll cut out the pieces, but I won't glue them down. I'll just keep adjusting and adjusting. And also back then, when you were using the found paper, it's hard to find the exact piece of paper that you want. And then you'll realize that you've used that paper somewhere else, that same color, and you say, okay, I want that color here instead. So then you go back and you adjust the other color by gluing something on top of it. So it's a long process. I've spent maybe 2 months just putting down the colors, the shapes and the colors, and then without gluing. So at some point you have to pick everything up because you got to start gluing from the bottom up. So I don't do it much anymore.
So how did you get started doing it? I mean, what was the impetus? Since you don't do it anymore, I mean, there's a number of acrylics, there's drawings in the show, but this obviously was a phase for a while.
Well, I still use a lot of collage.
Oh, okay.
But I do it with the painted paper, and what I do is I use acrylic paint because it dries fast. At the end of the day, I still have paint left on my palette that will go dry. So I take the little strips of paper that I make, and I paint the strips until all the color is gone. And now that I'm making these cardboard sculptures too, so I can paint cardboard with all that extra paint because I don't like to waste anything.
Now, are you constantly working at the small size that we see in this show, the like 4x5s, or are you using making large pieces as well?
I work a lot. So if I work big, I don't have any room for those pieces. So
you're really, really a miniaturist for the most part.
I work a lot because what I've been doing the last 4 or 5 years is drawing, one little drawing after another, and sometimes several little drawings. I have a little cardboard template that I put a little square, a little circle, oval, double square on a piece of paper, and then I fill it in with a ballpoint pen. I'm always drawing with a ballpoint pen. I don't use pencil much. And what I do is I just divide up that little format, the little square, as many different ways. And I probably have done about 5,000 of those. I did 200, maybe 200 plus on the airplane and the airport from Easton to Tulsa.
Really? Wow. Now, is there a editorial process you involve yourself in with them later?
I don't look at them. No, I look at them. I look at them when I scan them, because sometimes I put them up in albums on Facebook or online. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's mainly everything is parallel. I draw, I paint, I collage, but I don't work from my drawings. I don't work from my collages. I don't so much anymore copy my own work. It all kind of goes parallel.
Now, one thing that becomes obvious that you love color, because the colors in all the collage work as well as the acrylics are just bright, vivid colors.
Thank you.
Can you talk about the use of color in your work?
I think I just love color. I don't think I have any color theory. I don't think about color. I don't think when you do think about color, it'll probably most likely get worse. If you just trust your instincts and put down the color that you think would be exciting to you, you're going to do good. And I think anybody has a good sense of color. It's often learning that will confuse people, or thinking that, you know, if they start thinking that, okay, does cold, warm colors recede or cold colors come forward? Like, I don't worry about any of those things. I don't know the names of the colors. I just think red, yellow, blue, so on.
Primary colors.
Basically primary colors.
Are you working in primary
my
colors?
My palette has probably 7 colors. I just, at one point, I picked out a yellow, an orange, a red, an alizarin, a green. And what I did is I got the phthalo green and the phthalo blue just because it's very intense. And I can use that to make a lot of colors. And then I use purple and black, and that's it. White, purple, and
wow. I have to go back and look at them to see how that's done, because I just assume you were mixing paints and paints.
I mix. Yeah. Everything is mixed from those basic colors.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm always mixing, and I only use one brush. So when I taught in Italy, people at the end of the day, they would have 20, 30 brushes that they're all down there at the sink cleaning. I would walk in with my one brush, just dip it in the water, rinse it, and walk out. See, I'm using acrylic and not oil paint.
My guest today is Ken Cooley, who teaches at the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts, a wonderful artist whose work is on display at the Alexander Ho Gallery. Ken Cooley, collages, drawings, and paintings that will be on display at the Hogue Gallery on the TU campus through September 25th. There's an opening today. Are you doing a gallery talk as well, I would assume?
At 5 o'clock
yeah,
today.
Yeah, a gallery talk.
I do animations now.
Are you doing animation?
And I should be showing several animations, now, short animations.
Now, how did you get into animation?
Because of the teaching I've been doing the last 4 years, 5 years, it's a process. I document my process. With the drawings, I may draw a line, I'll scan it, I'll draw another line, I'll scan it, put it into the iMovie on the Mac so you can see the drawing develop. I've done it with a painting, and I've done it with models now where the model can move, and I can do a series of drawings, put them into the iMovie, and make her move.
Yeah. I assume an application like that, iMovie, is just like a revolution. I mean, it's kind of like the invention of the brush or the canvas or whatever as far as art goes, especially movement art and motion.
It's great, and it just shows what I do. I don't have to explain what I do. I can show it now.
Well, you mentioned a couple of times the ballpoint pen drawings, of which there is a selection in the show. And the idea that you did a bunch of them on the plane coming down gives a new insight into what we're seeing on the walls, because they look like they are pretty much stream of consciousness drawings. There's several in the show that are variations on the seatbelt sign. So the first one, it's very obvious you can see the universal symbol of the seatbelt sign, but by variation 3 and 4, it's way back in the drawing.
I did those on the bus from Easton to New York City. I use a straight edge, there's a little piece of cardboard that I draw up against. So even on the bus, I can get a very precise line, but what appears to be a precise line. Because what I do is I basically draw a line, and then I draw another line, I draw another line. I don't know, like, the third line when I'm working on the first line. I don't even think on the first line. I just start putting a mark down that leads to another mark, that leads to another mark, until I feel like, okay, that's something there.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think when anybody who doodles or draws, they say, you know, oops, I made a oopsie, you know. Is it you roll up the paper, or do you make that mistake, or that, or you just take that whatever happened and make something out of it?
That's exactly. I may like go too far on a line. Then I look at what I'm drawing. Say if there's something in front of me, by lifting my head or moving my head from one side to the other, I can find that line. That's what I usually tell people, where you look at the object that you're painting. You find a line, but then you look down at the page and you put it where you think it looks best on that page. With the collage, that's what happens, is if you have a little light, or let's say you have a building and there's a shadow. So you look out there and you make a little shape for the shadow. Then you go to your painting or your collage, and you can move it around because it's a loose piece of paper. You move it around until it looks best. You can even turn it upside down or sideways. It doesn't matter, because nobody's going to look at that landscape. They're going to be looking at your work. So what you're doing is you're composing. You're looking out there, if you're working from life, finding something, then putting it where it should go. And where it should go is just based on your instincts.
Now, the line draw, they really struck me, because there was everything from this obvious inspiration of the seatbelt sign to some that were like almost scenes in a way. I assume it's something you're experiencing. And some of them reminded me of like line etchings in the way they were constructed. I mean, because they were very dense, sort of that, you know what I'm talking about? That might have been popular right around the beginning of the 20th century. I mean, very dense lines to create a scene.
Yes, I like etching. I haven't done etching much, but I did do an etching that hasn't been printed yet. I've drawn 100 drawings. I made a grid on a 28 by 36 plate, and I've done 100 little drawings, which will be put in the acid bath soon.
Uh-huh.
to see how they came out. But
this was just a ballpoint drawing.
This is just a ballpoint pen.
No, but it has that look of a line etching in many ways.
I think there is a certain sureness that it looks like when you etch, it really makes a determined line. And when you don't really know what you're doing, but you do it anyway, just like force it, it does also give the appearance of a very determined line. Even like if I'm going to do a circle, if I'm going to draw a head, instead of tracing that outline of the head, I'll make a quick little circle that stands for the head or stands for another part of the anatomy or maybe stands for a light on somebody's shirt or stands for a shadow. Everything I do is very equal. And then I compose those parts to make what I want to be like clustered together to be the subject. But I don't think forward, background, negative space, positive space. It's all important. And the ballpoint pen I get from, I don't want to have to make changes. I don't want to erase and I don't have time to erase and do it over. But the ballpoint pens are from my dentist where I don't waste.
You get the freebie pen?
I get the freebie pen, and I'll go in and I'll sit there in the waiting room and I'll do drawings. They'll bring me into the room. I'll do more drawings. They'll put the like a Novocaine in. They leave the room for 5 minutes. I do three or four more drawings. So I always have this pad in my hand. So I've taken. No one can ever make me wait again. Like at the airport, you know, when I'm waiting for the plane, I'm drawing. On the airplane, I'm drawing. At the dentist, when I'm at my daughter's viola.
What do the Novocaine drawings look like?
they're about as good as the bus drawings. you don't need a lot. Like people say, they think about skill. You don't really need skill. You just need a little straight edge.
Well, one of the nice series in this show, you mentioned earlier, says, you know, I don't make copies. And I wouldn't call any of your work that sort of models previous work copies. They're your impressions. They're very much in your style. And one series that's in this is part of your 50 Nudes After Western Art, where you're taking, you know, the classic Manet Olympia. You're taking nudes by Kirchner and a whole variety of artists, and you're doing them in your style, and they're really, really quite striking. But again, small scale. What size are these? Probably
those are 4x6 or 6x6 or 5x5.
Yeah, right. How did that series get started?
They wanted me to do a show in my town of Easton, where a 2-person show. One person, the other person was always looking at art history and taking off part abstract, part figurative. So we had 4 walls. I said, I just need 1 wall. And I just decided to do 50. What I did is I cut 50 little pieces of paper. It's acrylic on paper. Then I found one after another 50 nudes. It could be the whole painting. It could be just a fragment of a painting, just the figure in the painting. Then I pretty much put 1 coat on each of those little things very quick of the image. And then I went back on most of them. There's one of the 2 sisters, I think it's mm-hmm. called. One's like kind of pinching the other's breast.
Uh-huh.
So, and it's from the Louvre. So that one I did a very quick little painting, and I decided that was enough. It looked good. And I left that. But underneath all the other ones, there are similar paintings that I went ahead and I worked maybe another hour or two on those paintings. But it's basically trying to work from life. You kind of forget that it's the painting. You just think of it as the model posing for you.
Yeah. Very iconic, and it's like After the Bath by Degas. You've got a version of that. Some of the Boucher nudes, and just these workings of the human form, and they're figurative, but not. They're in your style, which is sort of a abstract figurative style. One of the things I've learned about you is that maybe it was early in your career or when you were in New York, for 10 years you worked in the Met as a night watchman. Is that right?
Yes.
Now, for an artist, is that a great gig, or is it just as boring as any night watchman job?
I should have dropped out of high school. I should have gone there, got the job, and retired. But it was a good 10 years. I would go there. I would basically look at the art for 8 hours, then go home. Sometimes I was painting in the Central Park because the museum's right in the park. So I would leave my easel in the sentry booth, and at 8 o'clock in the morning, I would get out. I would work from 12 to 8 in the morning. I would get out. I would go directly into Central Park and paint. Then I would go home about 5 and sleep try to get to sleep as quick as I could from 5 to 11 and then go back to work. And some days we would actually work off, you know, we would work, and then when we would get off, we would take the bus trains down to Philadelphia to the Barnes Foundation. A couple of times we went down to Washington, D.C. during the day, just quick, looked at the work, went directly back to work. Then, you know, luckily you have a lunch hour that you can sleep. There's benches around the main hall that you would take a blanket from one of the little bookstore places where they cover the books with blankets.
Uh-huh.
Use that for a blanket, set your alarm, and then you get up and go back to... Basically, one person would sit, one person would walk. So you would walk for an hour, look at the art, check everything, check the doors, make sure there's no leaks. But you could turn on the lights, you could look at the paintings, you could draw, and then you could go back and read on your post.
Wow. Was that a good art education?
It was the best art education because you don't really see it. There's one floor where there's a library, but it actually goes down 2 more floors, and even the curators can't go in there down to the bottom. Check out books.
Somebody brings them up to them.
Somebody brings them up. But we can go where they can't go. And also you go through curators' offices. You can see what they're working on 5 years from now. So it's great.
Yeah, I would imagine it gave you all sorts of inspiration. Now,
what happens is you think you go, you work, paint at home, and then you go to work and you think, okay, that's how you do it. Then you go back to work, and you realize, no, I got to go back to work again because I didn't really get what they're doing. So it's a learning process.
So it was not necessarily you were learning form and techniques.
No.
Not
really form or technique. I don't really have much technique. I mean, I do what I do. I do the little pen things. I put the collage. I paint. I do some sculpture these days with cardboard. Some people, they look so carefully at a painting, trying to figure out like what color they use, what do they mix with their paints. None of that interests me at all. It's basically just going and enjoying and letting it do whatever it does to my, it's basically, it all comes down to composition for me.
So, and it's almost an improvisational composition, it sounds like.
I think it has to be, because these things don't drop from the brain onto the canvas.
No, there's other artists that would spend, you know, weeks and months honing it down, and it sounds to me like you're a man of the moment.
Well, I may spend a long time doing something, but it's not like because of the technique makes me have to spend a year. Mm-hmm. It's basically because I'm covering up the same thing over and over. You know, I'm doing one step at a time, and I just keep going. So each step is very short, but like I say, you should work not too hard, but all the time.
Well, it sounds from that schedule that you worked at the Met, you were working nearly all the time, whether it was viewing art or making art.
Yeah, I'm a little obsessed these days because it's worse now. That's all I do, except I do have a daughter who's 13 who I spend a lot of time with which I'm very lucky because I'm home and I can spend time with her. But when I'm not with her, you know, when she's in school or up doing her work or doing whatever she does these days, I work. So I work from like 8 a.m. to midnight and 7 days a week. But because I work so much, I feel like I'm free to do anything I want, basically. If I wanted to go see a show, I just go see a show.
Now, is the cardboard construction sort of your newest area of work?
When I started working with the workshops, I wanted people to get this sense of how you make that transition. What my thing is for everything needs to be broken down into some sort of shape. Geometric shapes are probably the easiest that can be adjusted and can be moved around. So with collage, you can cut these pieces out. With the cardboard, I have people take this cardboard, and it's just a cardboard box, so students can walk in to the room with a cardboard box, take this box, and fold it, crease it. You don't have to, like, it's not origami where you have to make a figure out of one piece. You just make clusters. And what I try to have people do is get a nice clean fold so you keep the planes. So afterwards, we'll have a three-dimensional figure, say, that's sort of like a 3D collage. And we work from these. So even if the student falls back into rendering, which I try to forbid anybody from doing, because I really like those big jumps. I don't like that shading. If you're going to do shading, don't think of it as shading. Just think of it as dark and light.
Okay.
So we have these, plus with the nice creased cardboard painted in acrylic, the light hits it. You paint every side the same color, the same value, because the light hits it. It's sculpture. But with the nice clean creases, one side will be light and one side will be dark. That's like if you're going out to paint a house, you have to make sure that the sun is hitting one side more than the other side. Otherwise, it's going to flatten out. So what I have people do is I have them draw from these. They'll collage from them. We may do a model, a cardboard figure from a model one day, and then have a model come back. And by positioning the model where the student can look at the cardboard model and beyond see the real model, they have a double pose where one's a cardboard figure, but one's a real figure. But because of the position, they're more equal size.
All right. Well, I hope a lot of people come out to see the exhibit today or over the course of the month as your work is on display. It's been great to see it and great to get to know you. Ken Cooley, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Artist Ken Cooley speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. Ken Cooley, Collages, Drawings, and Paintings opens today at the Alexander Hogue Gallery on the University of Tulsa campus with a gallery talk at 5 o'clock by the artist and will be on display through September 25th. That's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.